good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Joyce Riley, the Power Hour. Hi, Joyce. How are you doing?
I am outstanding. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, it's good to have you with us, as always. I've been meaning to ask you and call you. Do you think, as far as the Gulf War illness, and of course, Joyce is an expert on the Gulf War illness, was it about 25% or about a third of the Gulf War veterans who came back with that? Do we have any idea?
How many of them are ill?
How many were ill from the Gulf War illness that came back from the first Gulf War?
Well, I think now it's probably up around 60 to 70%.
Okay. So initially it was about 25%?
Yeah, I think probably about 15 to 25% initially, yes.
But more and more are developing this as time goes by?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, I don't know a Gulf War veteran that is not sick. I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm just saying that I don't know any personally that are not sick in some form or fashion or have been sick in the past.
Well, no, we know that a significant number of those Gulf War veterans have died. Over 10% of those young, healthy people have died. We've got the Veterans Administration figures that go into the back of that background. Do you think a lot of that, at least in the first Gulf War, was squalene? Do you think it was depleted uranium? Do you think it was mycoplasm? Do you think it was all of the above?
Well, obviously, it's all of the above because there are various stages that people that people are sick based on where they were and what they were doing. But I think it's real hard, Dr. Stan, to know the answer to that because so many people were given the vaccines with the squalene. And I think the undercurrent or the underwriting sort of problem that they have is all this neurological-based illness as a result of the squalene. I think that's where mine came from. And I do think that this neurological disorder is probably the reason coming from the vaccine. So if everybody was vaccinated, then that means that pretty much everybody is somewhat at some point ill, whether it's, you know, on a continuum of 5% up to 100%, I don't know. But, you know, this recent issue, I don't know how familiar your listeners are with it, but about a week ago I got a phone call from one of my good people that I know that is a Gulf War veteran. And this person had just gotten a letter from the Department of Defense stating that she had ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. Had you heard about this?
Well, we know that an awful lot of the veterans got Lou Gehrig's disease, and it is one of the things you is associated with taking the squalene adjuvant. And it's well been known for a long period of time, at least within the Patriot community, although I don't think that the average doctor knows it. I don't think the average individual realizes the devastation of this adjuvant that is being used in Europe and probably will be used here in the United States, although the CDC is concealing what they're going to do. I got an email from them today that said they're evaluating what's going to happen with this trial that they're doing right now with the new swine flu vaccine, and they'll decide later on whether they're going to put the squalene in this vaccine that they're going to start giving the middle of October. We're talking about less than 2 months from now they could start giving a vaccine to all of our children and pregnant women and all sorts of people with, you know, who could very well be permanently crippled by it. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I think it's important to understand, though, that if this ALS is a problem, where did this ALS come from? Is it related to the vaccine? And I really want people to understand what just happened this past week when this friend called me.
All right, you're going to have to hold that thought, and we'll be back here in just a moment with Joyce Riley, the Power Hour. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Joyce Riley. We've been talking about the Gulf War, the initial Gulf War of 1991, where so many of our young men came back ill with Gulf War illness. Joyce says that she thinks it must be 60 or 70% or incapacitated now. In fact, she says she doesn't know any of veterans of the first Gulf War who do not have Gulf War illness. I think there are probably some of them around. I have no idea. All we know is that the Veterans Administration is monitoring them very closely. Over 10% of the veterans are now dead, and they don't say they're dead, they're just no longer living. We have the statistics from the Veterans Administration, if anybody wants to see it, totally covered up, because the last thing they want the American people to know is that we killed so many of the boys over there, not in battle, but with the experimental vaccines. And now they want to give a vaccine with the same experimental adjuvant in it to our entire population. I'm sure those people who believe in population control will be very pleased to see the results. But go right ahead. You were telling me about one of your friends contacted you and
right.
said she had ALS.
They had received a letter from the Department of Defense that stated, "Dear veteran," you know, how personal can you get? "Dear veteran, it has been determined that your diagnosis by the Veterans Administration is ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease." And then it gave a brief description of the disease. And it said that there are benefits available to you and funds available to you having been disabled with ALS. Well, this person, this girl, did not know that she had ALS. And she had a neurological problem, but she was just panicked. I mean, how anybody would be. If you got a letter in the mail that said, you know, dear ma'am, it didn't even say we regret to inform you. It just said your diagnosis is ALS. Well, she went immediately to her local doctor who said, "You don't have ALS. Where did this come from?" She showed him the letter. Well, then she began to wonder, wait a minute, how do they know I have ALS? If she hasn't been going to the Veterans Administration or whatever, then another friend of hers called her and said she had just gotten the letter. Well, some of the people, though, that got the letter just absolutely were so distraught over this. I mean, they practically wanted to put a gun to their head. I mean, that's a disease that says that you are going to be basically dead before long. It says that you are going to have a neurological disorder that is going to cause you to quit breathing, paralyze all of your organs.
Hold that thought there, Joyce. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Joyce was just talking about a woman she knows who was in the first Gulf War and has had a neurological problem, but certainly as she goes to a private doctor, she got a letter from the Defense Department saying that the Veterans Administration had determined that she had ALS, which is amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, which is known as Lou Gehrig's disease, and there were funds available to help her through the Defense Department. Well, this woman was rather shaken up. She went to a doctor who said, "You don't have Lou Gehrig's disease." And then the question came up, well, how would the Veterans Administration know I have ALS? I don't go to the Veterans Administration for care. And then apparently a number of people are getting these very, very similar letters. Is that right, Joyce?
That's right. And so they contacted the Veterans Administration and got pretty high up. I don't know how they did it, because it is like it's a black hole to call the Veterans Administration, but was able to get to them. And they admitted to them finally that, yeah, we made a mistake. That letter shouldn't have gone to you. Well, come to find out, that letter went to 1,200 Gulf War I veterans, 1,200 this past week. And they demanded an immediate retraction, that they go on television, that they tell the world what had happened, that they immediately provide a disclaimer to this or explain or whatever, because they were afraid people were going to put a gun to their head. I mean, she had gone to the point of putting her will together. She had just resigned herself, called her family together, said, well, I'm going to be dying. you know, and just a horrible situation. Come to find out, the Department of Defense refused to respond to this, refused to get on board and go to the media and say, oh, we made a mistake. If you got this letter, call us. We'll let you know if it was, you know, for you or not.
Well, of course, I mean, these are the people who want to control the health of everybody in this country. They have the death panels. Anybody who doesn't believe it, it was passed in the supplement bill. They're not going to tell you it was passed in the supplement bill. It's already the legislation, the law of the land, and a piece of legislation that none of the lawmakers read. We're going to have Dr. Janda on here in a couple of weeks, who will give you the whole background of how they've already passed the legislation. Sarah Palin's right, the death panels. So the panels are there, but they don't want the public to know. And now we find out how efficient they are. They just sent out 1,200 letters telling people they have a deadly disease that's going to kill them, when, of course, there's nothing wrong with most of these people. Are we going to let the death panels determine the future of these ladies? Go right ahead.
Well, so they then went to the media, and they got a Gulf War Veterans group to go forward with them. Give them some clout. They went to the media, and the media, all except for Fox, refused to even put it on the air. Now, explain to me why, when 1,200 people, and of course they're discussing the veterans' end of life care, which we need to talk about also because I'm familiar with that program. But the veterans' end of life care was all over the media this past weekend, and they were focusing on that, but not focusing on the fact that they'd made a major mistake. And they needed to undo the damage before these people committed suicide or went off the deep end or whatever happened. But nobody but Fox, and I'm not saying Fox is the sterling example of what media should be, but they were the only ones that ran the story. Now, here's my question. If they sent out 1,200 letters saying people had ALS, who were the people that were supposed to get the letters? They were people with ALS. So that means there's at least 1,200 people that have been diagnosed with ALS. Now, if they went to the wrong individuals, that is probably the issue. I believe there are that many people with ALS that are from the first Gulf War, if not more. So here's what is startling from this, is that they're not telling people that they went ahead and did a disability for ALS after the first Gulf War. All the time playing this game of, gee, we just can't figure out why they've got this problem, we don't know what it is, but, you know, they've got it.
They knew exactly what they were doing. They used this experimental vaccine that is outlawed, illegal in the United States, and they gave it to the veterans because, after all, as Henry Kissinger said and quoted in Bob Woodward's book, Final Days, you know, the military are just stupid, dumb animals. That's the attitude of the elite, the people of Trilateral Commission, Bilderberger, CFR, and Henry's a member of all of those. They're stupid, dumb animals, and they're using them for experimentation, and anybody who's in the military better understand that. And if I were you, I would get out, because when you can't trust your leaders, why, of course, your very life and the life of your family are in jeopardy. But go right ahead.
Well, I'm going to tell people what it's like in just a second to actually have gotten the squalene. I'm going to tell you some of the problems that I had that I believe are directly related to. I've never done this on the air because I didn't want to be told that I was guilty of trying to make other people think that they had the same thing or come forward with the same symptoms. So I've never talked about it. I'm going to do that in just a second. But let me tell you, though, that I do believe with all my heart that there are 1,200 people that have ALS. Now, that is a disease that is very rare. And for 1,200 Gulf War I troops to have it, they know what has caused it. And they know that the squalene probably plays a major role in it. But because it acts as an adjuvant, it hyper-stimulates the immune system, they're using it. And they're going to use it without ever testing it officially, except for on Gulf War veterans. So I know that there's that many people that have ALS. They didn't even want to they didn't want to promote it on television by doing a retraction, because then that would call attention to the fact that there are 1,200 people with ALS in the military now. And any physician researcher worth his salt ought to be saying, what? 1,200 cases of ALS? Man, we better get to the bottom of this. We better see if it's vaccine related, because, see, that's the one thing that all military people have in common are the vaccines. I mean, other than wearing camo gear or, you know, the other things that you would have in common from a clothing standpoint, the vaccines are the other thing in common. So I know this is a major issue. I know it's a huge problem for the military now. It's such a huge problem, they actually made a disability for it very quietly, just like they did for MS. They made another disability for MS. Now, why would the military give a disability for multiple sclerosis, a demyelinating disorder? I'll tell you why. Because it was one of the diagnoses that came from the vaccine injury. So if you couple the number of people with, and I know more people with MS than ALS in the military, but I mean, we are talking about people in the military right now, huge numbers that have left the military or left service subsequent to the Gulf War that have neurological disorders. So we start to look at what has happened. Now, back in 1994 and 95, I was extremely ill. But 91, I was hospitalized. No, the end of 92. December of 92, I was hospitalized with a demyelinating disorder. They called MS, but not quite. Multiple sclerosis, but it wasn't quite that. I don't know what that means, but I had 6 spots of demyelination on my brain and spinal cord. And here is the symptoms that I've never told anybody about, even on our own show. I don't think I've ever disclosed this. It would feel as though when the neurological disorder took over, I was losing control of my body. My left leg would be so cold it felt like it was in a bucket of ice. My right leg would feel like it was in a sauna or on fire. Now, being a physician, you can probably understand this symptomology much better than I, but yeah. I went to neurologist after neurologist, and they all told me I was crazy.
Well, because it's a sympathetic nervous system that is causing the feeling of cold on one side with vasoconstriction and hot on the other side with vasodilatation. Go right ahead.
And I couldn't walk straight on one foot. My ankle would bend over. I had no control of my ankle. Then I remember driving down the street one day. I was going to work because I was still working as a nurse because I had to. I had no choice. And I was turning around the corner, and I was living in Houston at the time. The window was down, and I actually thought somebody threw a pan of hot water on me. I literally pulled my car off the road, screeched off the side of the road, and looked down, and I thought, I'm going to see water all over me. And there was nothing there. My body was on fire, though. It was red. It was on fire as if somebody had thrown hot water on me. Then, as it progressed, now each of these little periods of time would get a little bit longer in duration as the disease got worse, progressively worse. Then it would get to the point where I started having pain in my spinal cord. And this is the part that nearly did me in, because this was so difficult to even deal with. I mean, physically, mentally, spiritually, everything. But it would feel as though at the base of my neck or base of my head, somebody had taken a knife and put it into that area of my brain and was running that from my brain down to my foot, up and down my spinal cord, and down the back of my legs. And it was felt as if somebody was just running a hot knife. I called it the white hot knife syndrome. I felt as though somebody was running a knife up and down my spinal cord into my leg. And, I mean, it was excruciating. If I was someplace, I would fall down on the ground and I would just scream. And people thought I was having a hysterical fit. And, unfortunately, it happened once when I was with a physician. He happened to be an internal medicine physician. I mean, infectious disease doc I was seeing at the time. And it hit me then. It started out lasting only about 5 or 10 seconds. The longest it got up to was lasting about 30 seconds and close to 1 minute when it stopped, when it finally I was able to get something done about it. But I will tell you, this is more pain than I have ever known in my life. I thought it was demonic. I thought there was something horribly, horribly wrong with me spiritually, maybe. I didn't know what was happening, but it was pain like I never want to experience in my lifetime ever again. If they put a gun to me, I will not take that vaccine containing squalene, or any vaccine for that matter. But this pain of this white-hot knife, I've talked to 3 other people that have experienced it, and they nearly put a gun to their head. And you know when it's coming on, and it's kind of like this feeling of, oh, no, it's coming on again, oh, no. And then it starts, and then you just have to endure it. And it is all through the spinal cord, into the legs, and back to your head again.
Well, this is what they did to our people as far as experiments. Ladies and gentlemen, they experiment on our service. People, if you haven't read the Rockefeller Committee report, you need to get it. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Joyce.
And I saw neurologist after neurologist. One wanted to do brain surgery on me, and I told him no. And he had literally scheduled me for surgery. And the day of the surgery, I canceled it, and I said, no, you are not going to do it. I am not going to have surgery. And he said, oh, well, we can remedy it by doing this brain surgery. I said, no, no way. I was at the hospital, by the way, that I worked at. I was at, you know, a leading institution for medicine. And the pain continued on and on. And then finally, I couldn't stand it any longer. And they did admit me to the hospital because one doctor did see me go through one of these experiences. And he realized there was something neurologically going on, so he brought me into the hospital. I was in there over Christmas and over the holidays, and it would hit me when I was in the hospital, and people would see this. They finally started an IV of a steroid and basically just blasted me with steroids. And at that point, I started to get some relief, which was just tolerable. It was tolerable at that point. That's when I decided, and they told me, they said, there's nothing in medicine that we have that we know of that you can use. There's nothing in medicine right now. There's nothing to do for you. So that's when I went on my route of trying to find alternative medicine. But I never told anybody about this experience and the pain because I didn't want anybody to mimic these symptoms. But I have talked to three other people who experienced it themselves, and they told me almost word for word the very same thing that I had. So I just want people to know that when you start putting these artificial or these proteins in the body that are not supposed to be there, you're opening up your body for some things that you have no idea what's going to take place. Neurologically, immunologically, I mean, I am petrified of this vaccine, petrified of squalene or MF59. I am petrified of it. Chiron has patented it. I just found out the other day that the patent for the swine flu vaccine has now been found by someone. I'm waiting to get a copy of that. It was patented in 2007. And this whole thing has been created, prepared, agendized, and we are going to be the victims of it. And I cannot tolerate the idea of even thinking of a child that is going to get this vaccine. I or any other human being, by the way. And I will tell you that one of the first things that I got involved with was ozone therapy. And that began to break whatever, I don't know how to call it, whatever link there was. It started to get a little bit better after the ozone. And then I went through a number of different other things that I just had to start finding myself, which is why I became such an advocate for finding things that work, because I tried so many things that didn't work. That I spent so much money on just people telling me to try something, and I would try it, and it wouldn't work. And that's why at the Power Hour, we started and we said, we're only going to find things that work, we're only going to have things that work, and I will not cause someone to buy something if it's something that doesn't work. That's why I try everything and use everything at the Power Hour. But that's my own personal story for this. It's just that I know people today that are still going through that pain, Dr. Stan, that don't have an answer. I know people that committed suicide because that pain in their spine got so bad that they just could not tolerate it any longer. It is criminal. It is beyond criminal. Because the more I thought about this, and of course this is bringing back all those old feelings and thoughts that I had at the time, but the more I see people in pain and suffering from this, I realize that they don't care. And when I talked to the Department of Defense about this and I said, I'm talking about excruciating.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Joyce was simply talking about her own personal experiences, the terrible pain that she had. It sounds very much like the diabetic pains that you used to see many years ago from the neurological damage that came from certain diseases, this horrible pain that she had. And eventually, of course, she could find nothing in medicine that would help, and so she actually went the alternative route and took various alternative treatments and eventually has done fairly well. She probably has some residual, but she's really an amazing lady. I've gotten to know Joyce through the years. But, of course, the trouble is there are a lot of people who've not been able to know what was going on. A lot of committed suicide because of the pain and disability that came from the first Gulf War. And over 10% of the veterans of the first Gulf War are no longer living. That's thank you to the experiments that were done on them, the experimental vaccine that was given. We have a wonderful four-tape set. It's called Vaccine A. That's what they called it. Vaccine A. It goes into the background of the experimental vaccines, the squalene that was there. And, of course, what's significant about that is, well, I talked to the Centers for Disease Control today, and they told me they're thinking they haven't quite decided yet. They're using it experimentally now, but they haven't decided whether they're going to put it into this vaccine they're going to be giving to everybody in America. And they want to give it to every school child. And, of course, we know what squalene does. It's been known for a long period of time. But if you wanted to destroy the lives of our children, the lives of an entire generation of our children, you do just what they're doing today. Go to the Internet, look up squalene, you'll find out that, of course, it's a very dangerous vaccine. If you haven't read the Rockefeller Committee report on the experiments, many experiments they've used on our servicemen without their knowledge or consent, we do have the report that has been suppressed, but we got it from the government, and we've reproduced it and available through Radio Liberty. Understand, this is not imaginary. It is real. And, of course, if you want the four-tape set on Vaccine A, the tragic story of what they did to our veterans who went over to fight. Very few of them died in the war. An awful lot of them have died since they came home. Go right ahead, Joyce.
Well, my heart goes out to those that I know are still suffering. And people would call me and say and explain to me what their symptoms were. And it just broke my heart to think there are people living in torture like this. And that they are trying to make a living when it's almost impossible, absolutely impossible to continue working. That there are people that are having their marriages dissolved because the doctors tell them, well, that can't be. There's no way that you could be having that. Just like they told me that over and over. Here I was a nurse in the institution there. I worked there. I was fairly well respected there. And that to have them say, well, gee, we just can't figure this out. It must be a mental problem. You need to see a psychiatrist. It is just like the most defeating thing in the world when you know that in a few hours you're going to experience that pain again. I mean, that's what happens when you start putting artificial things in the body. I don't know what other things can do that, but I know that when Chiron patented this and gave the patent or sold the patent to Novartis, I know that Chiron and Novartis are the two companies that are involved in this horrendous thing. And all I can say is, if 1,200 Gulf War veterans that we know of have ALS and others have MS, I can't imagine what this would do to a worldwide population when you give billions of doses of this vaccine, how many people's lives are going to be crippled. And, of course, no doctor in their right mind would be saying, yeah, go ahead and give a vaccine and we'll just see what the fallout's going to be. Nobody would do that. No, unless they had an evil intent in mind.
Oh, I think there really are people out there that have an evil intent. That's the story of my Brotherhood of Darkness. That is why, of course, they're destroying all the seeds up above the Arctic Circle so that there will be seeds when they start all over again. Who's finding it? The Rockefeller Foundation and good old Bill Gates, who's dedicated to population control, and that's why he's financing the vaccine programs to help all those little black and brown children throughout the world and destroy their minds and their fertility, because they've intentionally left the mercury in those vaccines that they took out here in the United States. And nobody says, why would somebody who's interested in population control want to save those lives of all those little black children? Well, maybe they ought to start thinking there really are evil people in the world.
No question. Absolutely no question. That's the reason I've decided to talk about what it was that I experienced, because I don't want anyone else to ever experience it.
And nobody, in my estimation, should take this vaccine. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't trust what they say. I mean, they put, you know, certainly things that would cause abortions into the vaccine, a tetanus vaccine that was given to millions of women throughout the world to destroy their reproductive system. They couldn't have children. They put the polio vaccine into the original a poliovirus in the original vaccine, they knew it was there. They put a cancer virus in, and millions of Americans have died from the cancer virus. You say these things can't happen? Ladies and gentlemen, they not only can happen, they have happened. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Go right ahead, Joyce.
So I my heart goes out to the Gulf War veterans that are still suffering and the people that are listening to this program. I've been talking to some active duty people that are really now at the point of wanting to stop the vaccines in the military, all vaccines. They're striking out to say no. They're doing everything they can. They are like caught in a vicious, vicious system, though, that will not let them out. And those of us that are at least in the civilian sector have one more out, if you will, that we can say no. And we need to start talking to people as fast as we can. We need to talk to everyone. Today I had discussions. We had some people from the electric company come over, and we had some people from another service people that came over, because I got a direct strike of lightning that took out just a, pretty much every circuit board in the house. And so all these repair people have been coming over, and they'll say, well, what's going on in your world, or, you know, how are you doing? And I say, well, I am fighting the swine flu vaccine as hard as I can. And, you know, they'll usually say, well, why? I mean, what's wrong with the swine flu vaccine? And I say, look, if you care about your family, do not let them have it. I'm very upfront about it. Nobody should be taking an untested vaccine is what I tell them. So I'm going to be making up a some material, source material, on the vaccine that will be concise, readable, that people can hand out to other people and can explain very easily why they're not going to take it. And I talked with an MD just a little while ago before I came on the air, who he is not going to take it, and he is providing medical waivers and also religious waivers. He's getting together for his own family and children who are in college, and not wanting them to take it. So this is not just, gee, we just don't want to go along with the game here. No, we know what this is all about. I've been there, and I've been visiting with our law enforcement people also, and I've told them. I said, if you think, I said, I need to tell you in a very nice way, I need to tell you, I am not going to take the swine flu vaccine. If you put a gun to my head, I will not take it. And you know, I don't care what they're going to do with that information. I really don't care at this point. I've told them I will self quarantine. I will stay to myself. I will not bother anyone, but I will not take it. I'm vaccine injured anyway, and I am not going to take it. They have already said, though, that even vaccine injured or people who are allergic.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Joyce. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We're talking with Joyce Riley about the swine flu vaccine. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the greatest scam of all time. Do you realize that in this terrible epidemic that threatens the lives of everybody, so far as of the 21st of August, which is just a few days ago, only 522 Americans had contracted the disease, and of those 522, 80% of them had other serious health problems. Do you know that? Of course you're not going to be told that. This is a very mild disease. Certainly it is not life-threatening. And certainly the vaccine is dangerous. Certainly the one that they're putting out in Europe has the squalene in it. I think it's going to be here. I talked to the people from GlaxoSmithKline in France today who told me they haven't decided yet whether they're going to put the squalene vaccine in, the squalene adjuvant in the vaccine. Well, obviously they must be thinking about it. They're trying to decide it. Well, they're waiting to see what happens with this 1 month or 4 weeks of the vaccine trials that they're doing right now. It takes some time before the squalene begins to destroy your immune system. And what it does, it allows your immune system to begin attacking your own tissues. They know exactly what they're doing. But there really are people working at the highest levels of our government and financed by the richest people in the world who want to destroy most of the world's population. Now, before we go on, Joyce, I wanted you to get out your website and tell people how they get in touch with the Power Hour.
Well, the website for the Gulf War Veterans or any information on the vaccines or whatever is gulfwar@dam.net, D-A-M.net. That stands for Bagnell Dam, by the way. Gulf War, G-U-L-F-W-A-R. I'm sorry, the website is gulfwarvets.com, gulfwarvets.com. And the Power Hour website, of course, is thepowerhour.com. We're on WWCR. 7.890 from 7 to 10 a.m. Central, Monday through Friday. And today we had a veteran on who drove his tractor. I don't know if you heard about this young man. I call him young man. He's about 45. He drove his tractor to Washington, D.C. at 20 miles an hour, Dr. Stan, 20 miles an hour. And he drove it because he needed to tell them that the Gulf War veterans are sick, and his car didn't work anymore. He doesn't have any money. He has three children he has to take care of, and he drove his tractor to speak to the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee before they recessed. He got up there. He tried to make arrangements to speak there. He got up there, and lo and behold, they wouldn't hear him. Nobody would hear him. Nobody would put him on CNN. Nobody would put him on Fox. Here's a guy who spent a week driving his tractor 20 miles an hour to get to Washington, D.C. Well, he got up there, and he didn't have any diesel fuel money. He had brought his brush hog, which is a piece of machinery that goes on the back of your tractor. Probably those of you who live in Monterey Bay don't know much about brush hogging, but it's a brush hog that cuts down the stumps and the trees and clears your land. Well, he drove and took his brush hog with him so that he could fund himself on the way home, and he was at a sign, "Will brush hog for diesel fuel." So the Power Hour people took up a collection or got some money together and sent it to him. But when he got to Washington, D.C., he was so sick he collapsed. They put him in the VA hospital, and the treatment that he got was less than, well, I don't want to go into it because I don't want to hurt his chances in a VA hospital, but it was a real shame. His legs, he could not even move his legs. He had no feeling in his legs when he got there. They were so swollen, they couldn't even get his shoes off. His legs were so swollen, he couldn't even bend them at all. And he was in the hospital for about 2 weeks. And just the tragedy of this all, he's a little bit better. They did fly him back home here to Missouri, and we're going to hopefully get to know him and help support him. But, I mean, that's what these guys are doing. You know, here's a guy who tries to tell the world. Now, if somebody was driving a bicycle across the United States for gay rights, they'd be all over television, but or a bicycle or a tricycle or whatever for attention. But here you've got a guy who drives his tractor because he cares about other Gulf War veterans, and they just totally ignored him. And it was so sad for him. But that's what these troops are going through. And you think the Gulf War I troops were an issue. They're nothing compared to Gulf War II. And what's going to happen now with Gulf War II troops is just, I don't even want to think of what's going to happen as a result of that.
How many of them are ill? Do we have any idea?
Well, we know that 35 to 40% of them have already been labeled as disabled. 35 to 40%. Now, that's huge, absolutely huge. And they say, well, a lot of that is mental disorder. No, a lot of that is probably depleted uranium or neurological disorder due to the vaccines or due to whatever they've been exposed to. So the problem with these Gulf War veterans is that there's going to be probably, you know, it's going to happen much faster. I mean, we've already sent at least 2 million troops over there. They've been there 2 and 3 and 4 times, so their chances of getting ill faster. I mean, they're already, we've had, 2 years ago, we had the first one that died of a brain tumor, and he was returned to the States. They got him off the plane, let him look good, smell good, walk good, talk good in front of his family. And then the night that he got home, he collapsed, and he had to go to the hospital, and that's when they told him he had something like 6 brain tumors in his head, and he did not last but a month after returning home. And he'd been away from his family for a year. They did tell him that it was depleted uranium that he was exposed to. So he was aware of that, and he was able to tell his family that. Before he died, he said, it's the DU. They told me that I was near an area where there was depleted uranium. So we're sacrificing these men and women, just sacrificing them. And if you watch Discovery Channel, you've seen this new program called Amazing Families, where they have bizarre family situations. You may have seen a child with Treacher Collins disease. The child has no face. It's just total deformity with one eye. Treacher Collins is one of the diseases the Gulf War children are getting. There's another family on there. They have three children that are deaf and blind. Three babies they've raised that are deaf and blind. All these people were in the Gulf War, to my knowledge. And this, they're not putting them on TV because they're Gulf War veterans. They're putting them on TV because they've got the bizarrest things that no physician's ever seen before. This Treacher Collins case of this young little girl, it was so tragic. I watched it. I saw the clean-cut guy. When they talked about his military background, I just got sick. And I thought, look what they have done to that precious baby. And the families are so caring. They're typical military. Most of them were officers, as I recall. Typical military professional families who say, this is our child. We'll take care of this baby no matter what. And this mother is a literal saint that has three babies that cannot hear or see. I can't even conceive of putting a person through that as a child or as a parent of a child like that. But if you watch Amazing Families on Discovery Health, you're going to see some of the most grotesque, horrific deformities, and I'm willing to bet you they're all coming out of the Middle East.
Well, of course, that's what's happening to the children who are being born of the Iraqi families, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Only it's 10 times more there. It's 20 times more.
Because they never tell the American people the relationship between the depleted uranium and these horrible congenital deformities of the children. And all of this is being covered up by the controlled media. After all, we have freedom of the press in America, which means when you own the media, why, you can censor and delete anything you want to, and they do it routinely.
And it's just, I don't know, the tragedy, the pain and suffering cannot even be calculated. You know, and to be able to, and to say that these people just want money for their, they want compensation, no, not a bit. They want their lives back. I wouldn't trade any money in the world for what I went through, the pain I had at that time. And I would have given anything to have been out of that pain and not had to experience that. That was beyond anything I even knew was humanly possible. And my pain is probably nothing in comparison to what other people suffer for a longer period of time. Because there are people, Dr. Stan, that are not able to get out of this neurological problem. And their disease may go into ALS or may go into advanced MS. And I just, you have no idea how many nurses that served in the Gulf War, in the first Gulf War, that are now incontinent. They have no ability to control their urine. And that, we believe, is from the damage done by the depleted uranium. And these nurses and physicians, nurses and physicians that have become so seriously ill, nobody really took them seriously. Now, I said I was going to talk about another situation, which is, I just lost it again. Anyway, I'll think of it in just a minute. But the problems that we're experiencing are not going to go away. And the ones that have already committed suicide, we're losing about 70 people a month that are dying as a result of Gulf War illness. 70 people a month. And that is just more than, any 100-hour war should ever have. And they don't want people to know about it. They're keeping it, undercover. They're not wanting this information out there. And therefore, these people are having to suffer in silence.
Well, they certainly haven't told the public what we learned. Of course, going to the Veterans Administration records, as a year ago, last January, over 10, almost 11% of the Gulf War veterans, first Gulf War, were no longer living. They're tracking them. They're seeing what a great job they did. The people in the military do not dare speak out. If you speak out and you're in the military, they can put you in Leavenworth for the rest of your life, or even worse. In fact, the veterans of the Liberty, that American ship that was the Israelis tried to sink back in 1967 with the full help and support of the American president, Lyndon Johnson, and Robert Strange McNamara. Of course, they were threatened not only with imprisonment or death if they ever revealed the truth.
This, you know, when you say 11% have died, think about this. That's not a true figure. 11% have died of the ones they have tracked. Now, if they're not in the VA system, they're not being included in that number. Because I contacted the Department of Defense, and I asked them, is that a number, is that a total number of Gulf War veterans? No, that's the only the ones that they have tracked through the VA system. So if you're like me, and you went to a private physician or a private hospital, then you're not included in that group of people. So that's why that 11% of people that have died is such a falsely low number that it really can't even be considered. Because many people, as you know, are lost, what they call lost to follow-up, or they don't want anything to do with the Veterans Administration Hospital. You know, the old saying, you have two ways to die for your country, one on the battlefield and one at the VA. And unfortunately, that's just many times is the way it is. And so these people now that have given their all are getting nothing back in return. And then if they ask the Department of Defense for monies like First Sergeant Randy Stamm, I've known him for many years. He wrote a book called The Soldier's Dying Heart about the Gulf War veterans that were dying without anybody knowing about it. And he has tried for 16 years to get compensation. Now, he can't work. He, right after the Gulf War, he went back to college and got his master's degree in engineering, but he said, I can't even carry a milk bottle right now. I can't function right now. There's nothing that I can do. And so he can't hold a job. And Randy is a sweetheart of a guy. He's in his, I think he's in his late 30s. And The Soldier's Dying Heart, which is a book that I wish everybody would read, is something we need to hear, and we need to get it out there, and we need people to understand this. And if you're in the military right now, you know, I'll be more than happy to give you a copy of Beyond Treason, or if you're thinking about going in the military, I will be very happy to give you a copy. Just call the Power Hour tomorrow at 877-GULF-VET, 877-GULF-VET, if you're thinking about joining the military. And I will send you a copy of an hour-and-a-half documentary called Beyond Treason. And I want you to have it, and if you decide to join the military, after you've seen this, we'll go right ahead. But I don't want to see anybody joining the military who hasn't seen this because they have no idea what is about to take place in their lives.
Well, because my concern is that they intend that they've come up with this phony swine flu epidemic, which if the disease is very, very mild. Very few people have died of this, either in the United States or throughout the world. It's obvious, you know, from everything I've been able to find and from my interview with Wayne Madsen, who actually we have a four-tape set on this swine flu vaccine, and Wayne Madsen was told by people who work in biological laboratories, this new virus contains, you know, two various, actually, subsections of swine flu virus and avian flu virus and human virus. Obviously, this complex virus was created in a laboratory and released it throughout the world. This did not happen by accident. We can get our four-tape set on swine flu vaccine by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Everybody should read the Rockefeller Committee report. You carry that too, don't you, Joyce?
Yeah, we do. And, you know, that was the thing that woke me up. Of anything, when I read that Senate report, whatever it is, when I read that Rockefeller report, and I read, and I quote, during the past 50 years, hundreds of thousands of our military have been experimented upon without their knowledge or consent, I lost it. I could not believe what I was reading. Here, all I wanted to do was to be a nurse, be a captain, or be in the Air Force, be a flight nurse. That was my goal, and I ended up being a captain. And it was so special when I was doing it. I loved every minute of taking care of soldiers in the air and retired people and mothers and anybody else. But when I realized that hundreds of thousands of our military have been experimented upon without their knowledge or consent, how could I participate in this any longer? How could I support this? I couldn't. And I contacted Colonel Mountain, who was my commander at Kelly Air Force Base. And I said, Colonel Mountain, do you know about this? Know nothing about it. I don't know anything about it. It can't be true. That can't be true. And they wouldn't talk to me anymore. Then nobody would talk to me at my unit. And then I became so ill, though, that I had to stop. I couldn't go to the weekend meetings after that because I was a reservist. And I feel for the guys that are suffering in silence right now, Dr. Stan, that don't know what's wrong with them, don't know why their legs won't work, don't know why they're having these strange sensations in their body, and all they want to do is get away from the pain. So what they do is they end up self-medicating. If they go to the VA, they put them on the SSRI drugs. 90% of the Gulf War veterans I've talked to have either been placed on or offered Prozac, Zoloft, Wellbutrin, whatever. And then the other things that they do to try to get rid of the pain, they'll beg, borrow, and steal to get any kind of pain medication that they can. I mean, they will literally do anything to get pain medicine because the VA won't believe them. Then if they make enough noise and go to the VA, then they'll double or triple the number of SSRI drugs they're on to keep them quiet, and then they will start giving them pain medication. And they usually give them OxyContin or Vicodin. And even in some cases, I don't know if you can imagine...
Hold that thought. Our guest has been Joyce Riley from the Power Hour. Joyce, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
And then they give them ecstasy, which is an illegal drug, a street drug. They give them ecstasy to take away their memories, so they'll forget everything they experienced. And then they give them even Demerol and morphine to take it home. I have seen troops that were given syringes and IV and IM morphine to take it home. And these guys, they abuse it because they have so much pain. They don't know how much to take. They don't know the dangers of it. And the VA is actually sending these drugs to them in the mail. They don't even have to go back and get checked out. They send them in the mail. I've seen it. I couldn't believe it when I saw that. So I want to give hope to people out there that are either joining the military or maybe in the military. Do what you can to get out and stop taking those vaccines. If you're thinking about joining the military, think again. And if you are sick, don't give up hope, because there are people who understand. And go to GulfWarVets.com, because the website there will help explain it. And we will give you a copy of Beyond Treason. And you can take it to your doctor, take it to the military, take it to the VA, I don't care what. But don't keep it to yourself. Keep sharing it and sharing it. And let's get this word known that these people are dying.
Well, certainly that's one of the most powerful DVDs I've ever seen, Beyond Treason, and Joyce does offer that free of charge to veterans, simply call her and request it. So you did a wonderful job getting that off. We actually carry that for non-veterans if you want to get a copy of it. But if you're a veteran, why, you can get them from Joyce. And I appreciate everything you're doing to get the information out. But what really concerns me, Joyce, is the swine flu vaccine they want to give all across America, a totally unnecessary vaccination, because regular influenza vaccines really don't work. The only reports we have tell that they work are the ones that are funded by the drug companies. But even more than that, of course, the swine flu vaccine, I believe we already know it's going to contain aluminum and mercury. But I'm very much concerned that they're going to put this squalene in it in an effort to protect us. They would not be doing what they're doing and trying it, you know, and experimentally. And they're going to come up and say, gee, it didn't do any harm. Of course it's not going to do any harm in 4 weeks, but 6 weeks from now, they're going to begin their program. Actually, 7 weeks from now, they're going to begin a program to actually administer this dangerous vaccine and unnecessary vaccine and expensive vaccine to every child in America.
Well, thank you, Stan, for what you're doing, and keep telling this message, because we cannot say it enough, and we got to keep screaming it from the rooftops and telling everybody we meet.
God bless you. Thanks very much for being with
God
us, Joyce, as always. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope that you enjoyed our conversation with Joyce Riley. If you'd like to get the Veterans Administration report, came out, you know, over the name of Senator Rockefeller, Jay Rockefeller, and we actually have it. You can get that through Radio Liberty. That's the Rockefeller Committee report. And then, of course, we have our new four-tape set on swine flu vaccine. You need to get it. You need to get it to everybody you know. And tell them not to take this vaccine. It's not been proven to be either safe or effective. And, of course, you can't tell in a few weeks, and they've just begun their program of testing. I called the people at the GlaxoSmithKline and Friends today, who was manufacturing the vaccines. They said that it was a secret how many people were being tested and what the results were. Everything is secret. Why is it secret? What are they concealing from the American people? Well, the fellow said, I'd like to tell you, but I just can't do it. It's secret. And, of course, I got hold of the CDC, and they say, well, we're considering whether or not to put the squalene in the vaccine that's going to be given to literally every child in America. Why would they want to do that? They know what the squalene has done. They know what happened to the Gulf War veterans. They know what happened to the soldiers they give it to in the early 1950s. Go open the internet. Look up dangers of squalene. Find out if what I'm telling you is true, and then join us in this effort to tell the American people that their lives are in danger, and there really are people who have a population control agenda. Now, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America is under attack today. You need to get my talk on planned population reduction, the DVD. You need to get our talk on None Dare Call It Genocide. You need to get our talk on population control. That's a video. You need to get my population control agenda monograph. And, of course, if you get anything else, we'll send it to you free of charge. Just ask for it. You need to understand that they have treatments for cancer that are being suppressed. They've done this for a long period of time. You need to get the National Security Study Memorandum 200, which you can get from Radio Liberty. You can pull it down from the Internet, but we actually have it. I mean, it's about 250 pages. You need to get the testimony by Dr. David MacArthur before the House Appropriations Committee in 1969, where he asked for $10 million to create a new illness that would kill for mass killing. And, of course, he got the money, and they created these new illnesses. You need to get my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Millions of people have died throughout the world. We've already killed over 500,000 in America. Another million are infected. They're all going to die in America of an unnecessary epidemic. My book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. I didn't understand the population control agenda when I wrote the book, but of course it is still the best book on the politics of AIDS. And certainly we know that in Botswana today, 46% of the pregnant women are infected with HIV, and they're all going to die. American tax dollars at work, the population control agenda. So the information is available from Radio Liberty. We actually have the Simpson-Wood report that was put out, a top secret report by the CDC. Why would the CDC have a top secret report? Why? Because the Simpson-Wood report acknowledged that, of course, the thimerosal and the vaccine that we were giving to our children had caused the autism epidemic. But don't you worry. There's going to be thimerosal, a full toxic dose in the vaccine they're going to give to every child, but not just one injection, two, and then the regular injection, that'll be three toxic injections they want to give to our children with the mercury in it as part of the effort to stop swine flu. And they're going to start at 6 months of age, and they're going to give it to pregnant women where it'll do the most damage. Could these things really be going on? Could anybody be that evil? Well, if you don't believe it, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or listen to my talk on the forbidden secret. Our telephone number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And I will tell you, we're having some financial problems. If you can help, we'd love to hear from you. Don't forget our October 25th all-day meeting here. And then please pray for Radio Liberty.